Hello, everybody. This is Pearson here with the Marketing is the Product podcast. I'm here with Brandon Rollins.
Hey, everybody.
And today we are going to be doing a holiday episode of sorts where we kind of go through the current state of society and what the holidays have looked like this year, as well as what this season of Christmas and all the holidays people celebrate is going to kind of look like given the new state of how the world's functioning, because it's quite different than we've had to go through it in years past.
Very weird holiday season. Happy holidays, everybody. First of all, I kind of sprung this topic on you, and I want to let listeners know that. So we're actually going in without a whole lot of an agenda, because I just want to capture this particular moment in time where we're having a holiday season and every business is trying to get used to it. Because basically since October, which is when a lot of these retailers started doing, you know, big holiday sales, things haven't exactly gone the way they normally do around the holiday season. And it's affecting businesses everywhere, no matter where you are, good or bad. And I really want to catch this specific moment in time because it's such an odd one.
Yeah. And this year, you know, as a whole has kind of been an odd one.
2020 has been a very strange one. This is our last show of the year. So we can go on record saying pretty safely, I think at this point, that 2020 is a weird year.
Yeah. And or in other words, it just sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like a lot of good things have happened for me and a lot of good things have happened for you, but there's been a lot of ugly stuff in between.
Yeah. I mean, the roaring 20s, they're coming back.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. There is this blog I read. It's absolute nonsense, but every once in a while he says something that just strikes me as really insightful. It's called Ribbon Farm. It's by this guy, I think it's Venkatesh Rao, and he just kind of predicts the future, and he's right, like, I don't know, 20% of the time or something. And he said that this decade was going to be less of the roaring 20s and more of the searing 20s, because he thought, you know, political tensions and strange things are going to happen, and also it might be hotter too. And I think, weirdly enough, he called it. He also called that staying in your home was going to be a lot cooler for Generation Z. I don't think he expected to call it so perfectly, but he did.
I mean, yeah, and having to stay inside and stay in home and kind of mind social distancing policies has kind of been the story of this year. And especially heading into the holiday season, it creates an interesting situation of how people are going to approach it, because holidays are something that are so fueled with tradition. Regardless of what holiday you might be celebrating, families have their own traditions. People celebrate holidays in different ways. I know my family celebrates one way. Brandon, I'm sure yours does as well. But what's interesting about this is you're kind of faced with a problem of, you know, COVID cases aren't necessarily slowing down. Granted, there are talks of a vaccine coming out in the next couple of weeks, which is a great sign and a wonderful step in the right direction. However,
exactly, yeah.
What makes it a little bit challenging, though, is saying, you know, like Brandon and I have talked about this quite a bit between ourselves this year, and it's, you know, you are responsible for the bubble that you are in, whether that be you and a significant other, you and the family that you live with in your home, or if you live by yourself, you're responsible for yourself. And regardless of how you choose to spend your time, when you are around other people, the big risk of COVID is exposing others as well as exposing yourself to it. And that creates an interesting dilemma, like what we've been talking about, of you get into the holiday season, you're not really as likely to be outside unless you're in a climate that accommodates that for year-long outside weather, which in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where we are at, it has been 28 degrees for the last couple of days at night.
Yeah, it's been pretty cold here, and people aren't doing stuff outdoors as much as they were even 3 weeks ago.
And with that, you start thinking, okay, well, let's say Christmas time comes around, everybody's inside around the tree doing the whole nine yards of stuff that people do for Christmas. Is that dangerous? Is that safe? Is that what's wise to do for you yourself, as well as the people that are around you and in your life? And it's tough. And, you know, we faced that throughout the year. Thanksgiving was the first real taste of that, I think, that we've had, and the first, you know, family oriented holiday of people coming together and giving thanks and, you know, sitting at a table. I know personally, I wasn't at my family's Thanksgiving due to COVID, as well as due to some other variables that were outside of COVID. But, you know, you're stuck making choices that aren't necessarily the ones you want to make, and some that disappoint the people that are closest to you, which is hard.
Yeah, we had an internet Thanksgiving, my family, you know, so Zoom calls, and it's just strange. You know, I know why we did it. I think it was the right thing to do. You know, it's making sure that we don't put each other in harm's way unnecessarily. We know how this thing spreads. We know how it works, but it sucks. It sucks. I know a lot of people still want to see their families in person, and like, yeah, all the public health experts will tell you that's a bad idea, and I cannot in good conscience tell you it's a good idea. It's not. But it still sucks. And I think a lot of empathy, I think people really need to have empathy for others who really miss their families and miss their social connections more broadly. Because we're headed into, you know, Christmas is in 15 days from when we're recording, and it'll be like 4 days after this show drops, maybe five. And it's tough. And yet we're still, you know, different places are finding different ways to move forward. I hear in like Montreal, Canada, they're setting up pavilions outside with these heated lamps, and, you know, so you can have cover and you can be away from the heat, and you can still have family gatherings in like public parks. So, you know, there are places where they're saying this is totally safe, but we know you're going to meet your family anyway. So And I'm not saying that is even a good idea in the U.S. because honestly, the U.S. and Canada are in very different situations. You really need to listen to the experts on this one. But it's just interesting that, you know, it's not just like virtual calls. There are people out there are finding other alternatives to keep the holidays going.
And I think that's the hard part, Brandon, is for a lot of people finding other ways. That is what's challenging, is so many people are so rooted in their own lives and their own way of going about things that when you're forced, and I say forced in the sense of like by minding what is recommended to us to do, we are at a place that you can't really do that. And when you're forced to change the way that you've approached life as long as you've known it, that brings forth a lot of complications for people. People don't like change when it directly impacts how they've gone about living for the last 50 years, you know? And being in a place where, you know, we're in a pandemic, let alone a respiratory one, where it's dangerous to be around large groups of people inside, I mean, it might not seem like that in the moment when you're there and you're like, oh, we're all here, we all feel fine, it's okay. But, you know, it's more about preserving the tradition as a whole and leaving us in a place that next year and the following year, when things have gotten a little bit more smoothed out, we have a vaccine, the curve has been flattened, so to speak, we're able to continue on in the life that we have known of it, or the life that we have known, but do it in a way that's a little bit different and a little bit of a way that kind of respects other people, respects social distancing, and tries to just take care of everybody else as much as you're trying to take care of yourself. And that looks like at times having to have that hard conversation and saying, you know, it might not be the best idea if we do this the way that we have.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, it's just, yeah, well put. You know, I think I didn't ever actually appreciate tradition as much as other people did until maybe this year came along. I started to realize that when you actually have a lot of your traditions upended in a moment's notice, all of a sudden you miss the stability that brings. It provides like a predictable cadence, a story to life. And all of a sudden when you're having your Christmas remotely and you're used to having a Christmas every year, or you're not meeting your family for Hanukkah or something else, you know, it's very strange. It's very disorienting. I think that might be why tradition is a thing, because it keeps people oriented. It keeps people feeling secure in where they are in society, I suppose.
And I think a lot of people have come to just assume might not be the right word. A lot of people have come to expect that the holidays are the time that they get to see their family. And for people that live elsewhere than where you are at or aren't necessarily in that bubble that we've mentioned where you're seeing them with regularity, the holidays for a lot of people is that chance to kind of reconnect and to say, hey guys, haven't seen you in a little while. How's it going? And it makes it tough because you can't do that, like what you said, with good conscience.
Yeah. You have to consciously reach out to people instead. You can't, like, the moment doesn't force it as much.
But with that, you know, there are, I think, quite a bit of pros to it. And I think that people overlook that. And I think with this season and being forced to take time for ourselves and to really sit in where we are at, we're able to be more genuine with the people that we are around when we are with them, because we've recognized how fragile that time with face-to-face, like the face-to-face interaction is, you know, as that, like what you said, it's been up and like can't do it anymore. So when you do get that opportunity to, it makes us more appreciative of it.
Yeah, I'm more grateful for people in general. You know, you realize what you're missing out on. And I'll tell you another thing I wanted to mention was just, you're right. It's not all bad. I mean, it's been tough. I mean, the coronavirus is really rough. A lot of people are dying, and that's not a fact that you can ignore in good conscience. I don't think you just can't. You have to face it. Even still, I find it hopeful. I do find some good qualities in just being able to look at the ways that people have gotten creative and kept their holiday traditions going, or kept their businesses going, or kept their families connected. See, that gives me hope for a brighter future in 21 and beyond. In a way, we're kind of practicing solving big collective action problems, which are probably going to be the defining problems of the century anyway. This is a practice run. Because, I mean, you know, once we're done with dealing with coronavirus, we're going to have to deal with plenty of other stuff, too.
Yeah. And, you know, like you nailed it, Brandon. It's being able to collectively solve problems in a way that really works. And I don't think the United States is really nailing the handling of COVID. And I can say that for a couple of different reasons. You know, I'm not bashing on the U.S., but statistically and based on like actual data that is presented, there are countries that do have a grip on this. There are countries that are handling this in a lot better way than we are, and better meaning cases aren't still rising. Death tolls aren't still getting greater by the day. Some places have not even had cases in quite a bit of time because of their social distancing guidelines and how they are approaching their day-to-day life. And you're seeing some cultures, and I say cultures because they're outside of the U.S., and other people around the world approach life very differently than how we do in the U.S. When you have a group of people, whether that be people in Australia or in people in Taipei, Taiwan, people that approach life differently than we might approach it here, you're seeing different results over there than you are here. And I think that also speaks to the ability of a group of people to collectively solve problems and to see how well countries, other groups of people at large can be faced with an issue and say, we are going to respond to it in this way for the betterment of everybody.
Yeah, and a lot of countries have handled it well. Vietnam, surprisingly, is one of them. New Zealand, of course, I think has been doing very well. I hear that Canada's been doing all right. Australia's been doing all right. Germany, compared to the rest of the European Union, seems to be doing okay, too. A lot of countries are actually getting by okay. I want to give the U.S. one good thing. Because I do love the U.S. for all our flaws. I really do. I want to give the U.S. one thing. We have done a hell of a job getting a vaccine to, what do they call it, stage 3 trials quickly. Like, holy crap. This virus was discovered roughly a year ago, you know, and the disease didn't even have a name until like 10 months ago. And now you're telling me that Pfizer and Moderna both have vaccines that have gotten to phase 3 trials. You have to get through a lot of stuff to get to phase 3 trials. Even if you remove a lot of the hurdles, even if you speed up parts of the process. You have to have a round of testing where you test it on, you know, animals. I believe that's it. I think you have to have one where you test it on, like, a small sample of people. I forget whether it's a few hundred or maybe a few dozen. There are people who know a lot more about this than me. And then phase three, you have to test it on like tens of thousands of people to monitor for some really bizarre stuff. I'm talking about like your 1 in 10,000, like Guillain-Barre out of a flu shot kind of thing. And this actually helps prevent, you know, the risk of vaccine injuries. That is, somebody gets something really seriously wrong with them because of a vaccine. And to be able to get to that stage so quickly is remarkable. It's not just the research, which itself is really fantastic, but it's also doctors who are helping test this. You know, there are patients who are putting themselves at risk for the greater good. I mean, I know that sounds cheesy most of the time when you say it, but that's what it is here. You've got these shipping companies finding ways, special ways to transport goods that have to be stored at minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is in Celsius, but point is, it's so damn cold that you have to make a special box for it with like dry ice in and special insulation. And shipping companies even are figuring out ways to make this packaging and to coordinate the shipments to hospitals. And then, of course, the hospitals have to figure out how to give it to people in the right order. You know, the most high-risk people first, elderly, healthcare workers. I mean, it's just, it takes so much darn brain power to make something like this happen. It takes so much collective goodwill that I know a lot of people are like, you know, damn Karen not wearing a mask in the Publix, whatever. I mean, that's also happening, but also you look at all these things that are going right. Look at all these things, all these ways that people have cooperated to make an incredibly complicated task happen.
You know, and when you break it down, Brandon, a little bit further, going into what you're saying, one of the things that for me really stands out, a couple of things actually. One, and this isn't, I have not checked the data on this, so I'm not sure if this is entirely true, but the turnaround for a vaccine after discovery of the disease, I think this might be the fastest one to date. I don't know if there's been a vaccine produced that has come in the amount of time that has passed since COVID-19 was first discovered and started running rampant. And I think that speaks to the advancements of science and, like you said, the willpower of people. But another thing is, and this is a much smaller example, but remember maybe March when everything started to get pretty bad and everybody was frantically trying to look for masks everywhere? And then there was the question of, oh shit, how are we going to all have masks? What's going to happen? And then, sure enough, business after business after business started producing masks, different variations of them. If I go on any page on the computer, I see advertisements for neck gaiters, for masks, for different companies that are now selling masks. You can go to almost any mainstream clothing manufacturer, and they're going to have masks for sale in their brand. Sure, they might not be N95 masks that are medically approved, but the point is you're seeing that shift of people recognizing there are business opportunities within this. You know, there are people that are going to say, okay, there's a shortage of masks. We can make masks. We have the means to do it. Let's do it. Let's pump them out. And then that also starts solving problems on a greater scale. You know, like when you have this many masks, I mean, Brandon, have you worried about finding a mask at all lately?
No, we've got like 100 here. Honestly, because they sell them in boxes of 50 now, you know?
And it's like, that's something that now we're not even stressed about. But at the start of this, everybody was freaking out. Like, how am I going to have masks?
Maria has one that matches like jewelry and stuff. It's crazy.
But when you get started with it and everybody's like, oh shit, let's go get the bread and milk from Walmart when shit hits the fan. It's kind of like that snowstorm mentality. It's like, let's hoard up in case of emergencies. But now it's like, people have made it to where you don't have to do that. There are enough supplies out there. I'm seeing name brand Germex and Purell on shelves at Publix and Walmart. Think about how crazy that is.
Yeah, I mean, because they had to revamp their whole supply chain, their whole manufacturing to make that happen. That's a little bit of a miracle. And that's a lot of people thinking very hard about how to do a complicated thing. I'll tell you that, these masks that you're seeing out, they're inexpensive. They're fashionable. You can get ones customized for your company too. I mean, they're so widely available. You can get them plain. You can get them custom and beautiful. It's not disaster capitalism. That's what I'm getting at. It's finding a new need and actually and filling it in an inexpensive way. And it's nice to see people doing that. It's nice to see that happening. And it's not just all competing on price. Like, people have a chance to do this stuff, set up their own Etsy shops, do something artistic with it. There's been a lot of surprisingly good stuff come out of this. If you can look for any silver lining for this massive damn cloud.
And I think, you know, that's the most important thing in my eyes, Brandon, that you can do is, you know, you're faced with a wall of shit. You've got to try to start looking for the good in it, because if you don't, then it's just going to lead to that deteriorating mind state of this year sucks. I'm in a rut. It's going to keep getting worse. You know, you can choose to look at it like that. Sure. But I don't know how far that might get you. You know, like I've gone through that myself this year where I've said this year sucks. It's not getting better. It's a downhill spiral and seemingly nothing's really good. But the reality is, in times where things aren't great, you have the opportunity to look for stuff that you might not be seeing. And in this year alone, and this kind of transitions a little bit into what this next episode that we're going to be recording is and for New Year's resolutions, but speaking more towards where this year has led me, like due to COVID, it's honestly helped me take the time to focus on some of the things that I needed to work on in my own life and really be faced with not only the opportunity in that I'm stuck at home and I have the time to really look in the mirror, but I can say, you know what, I need to make some of these changes. And this is a great time to do it. You know, you're stuck at home. You don't have that much else to do. You can either say, I'm just going to veg around, which nothing's wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with saying this year sucks. I'm going to lay around and wait it out. If that's what you want to do, then do it. However, this is a great opportunity for a lot of people to learn new things, to get out, to work on themselves, to try to focus on the bigger picture, which is hard. It's hard to think of how our actions right now can have implications weeks, months, years down the road. But, you know, like we said earlier, we want to be able to have Christmas with our family next year. You want to be able to do that 5 years from now and not have to think, man, I really wish in 2020 we just recognize the importance of saying this isn't worth it right now. You know, it's not worth going around your elderly family and saying, hey, it's great to see you this year. You know, like it's there are ways to go around that to protect everybody, as well as checking the box, so to speak, of doing what you love to do, seeing the people that you love, upholding these traditions. There might be changes in it, but that doesn't mean that they're not there and they're not the same. You know, it's like what I say to people, Thanksgiving is just a day. You can be thankful for things every day, but if you need to put a day associated with it to come forth and give thanks for what you have, then that's fine. However, if you want to have Thanksgiving every first Tuesday of the month, then like that can be Thanksgiving for you guys, you know. I might have a different outlook on it than some people, but that's just how I approach it.
Yeah, I guess that's why you can be thankful technically any day you like. We just pick one to collectively do it, and then we go Black Friday shopping.
The third Thursday in November is always the day that we say thanks on.
Yes, be grateful on the third Thursday of November. You know. Actually, on the subject of Black Friday shopping, that has given me hope this year, of all things. Okay, so I always kind of thought that Black Friday shopping was a sort of morbid spectacle, you know? And I guess I was just being pretentious about it, because a lot of people seem to get joy out of it. And it's a whole tradition in its own right. But I've seen this year that it's still going on. Businesses are still finding a way to make it happen. Not in big crowds in the stores, thank God. There have been companies, they've been shifting up their shopping days all the way to like October, having separate holidays, separate sale times to spread the number of sales over a wider period of time, so people can still have their big holiday shopping spree. Without totally overwhelming the postal system or anybody at these e-commerce companies. And I think it's so interesting to see this big shopping frenzy day get broken into many, many different parts and still survive, essentially.
Adaptability.
Yes. Yes. I didn't think that Black Friday would become a symbol of resilience, but it is. Isn't that kind of interesting how this morbid spectacle that we used to watch where people would just go, be thankful and then go out 8 p.m. on a Thursday to tackle each other in a Walmart? Like, it's become a symbol of resilience now because people are like, all these logistics companies, these e-commerce companies, even these shoppers are changing their habits to keep an honest-to-God American tradition, really. It's still happening, so we can still give gifts to our loved ones and be with them from afar.
Don't lie. You know there are some people that just love getting to go out and tackle people in Walmart at 7 a.m. on a Friday.
And, you know, if they just, like, legalize all crime on Black Friday, that would just really close the loop. Get on it, Joe Biden.
I'm surprised in the midst of 2020 they didn't just say, you know, screw it. Let's just say no laws on Black Friday. Let's just make it fun. We'll set up TV crews at every big shopping center and we'll see what we can get. It'll be like a new Macy's Thanksgiving Day's parade.
I live, I buy, I live again.
What do you think this holiday season is going to look like for you?
It's probably going to be Zoom calls with my family on Christmas Day. And that's probably what it's going to be. We're trying to figure out exactly what we want to do. We're going to send gifts by mail or by dropping them off. What about you?
I feel like it's going to be, I mean, like we said, thankfully this podcast is coming out after Christmas, so they'll already know by then. Yeah. Oh, no. I thought you said, oh, this does come out 4 days before Christmas. Well, surprise, guys, if you haven't found out already. But I'll probably be in the same boat as you. I think it's the only way that I can keep a good conscience about what I'm doing and keeping my part in it. And more importantly than anything else, I know a lot of people are still choosing to go out and kind of interact in society. And like I've harped on, I can't account for everybody. And I think it's just worth taking the time and saying, you know, let's find a different way. Let's adapt and kind of overcome. And it's going to suck for a little bit, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be over. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you don't care about the people that are close to you. And I think that just reminding people of why you are doing what you are doing and assuring them that it's not a personal thing. You know, and I think that's the flaw that people are, or the rub that people are seeing is it's like, I don't want to come to Christmas. Well, is it because of me? No, it's not because of you. You know, it's because I'm trying to take care of society, myself, the people around me, and really just get through this thing because it's not worth dragging out any longer than it has to.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel this time, and it is not a train. It is not a train for once. I mean, seriously, the end of this thing is in sight. I mean, once you got phase 3 vaccine trials from Moderna, Pfizer, possibly some other companies, something is going to work. It takes a long time to get to that point.
We're in the home stretch, guys. And I think that's important. It's important to just take a step back and say, you know what, this year sucked, but we made it through it and we're going to pull through.
Yep. And if even 50% of people get that vaccine, you know, we're going to be a lot closer to herd immunity. That's the thing that really matters. Like, even there's going to be some holdouts. There's going to be some people who can't do it. There's going to be some people who are uncomfortable with it, frankly, and who might want to wait. But even having the vaccine out there in the world being picked up by a handful of people makes us safer.
You have anything else you want to add, Brandon?
No, I'm good. End of speech.
End it here. Well, I mean, I think the purpose of this episode is to just try to talk a little bit about what this season looks like and to reassure everybody that, you know, you're not in this by yourself. We're all kind of facing these same issues and trying to sort through them to the best that we know how. And I mean, you know, there might not be a right or a wrong way to approach it. You know, that might look different for everybody. But the important thing is that, you know, you hold out hope, you stay positive, and you try to take the time that you need to listen to what you need for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just here to capture a moment in time so we can all just appreciate where we are right now.
And, you know, maybe this time next year, we might come back to this, Brandon, and do a little reflection episode where we talk about where we were at this time last year, because I'm sure that by then there will be a new set of challenges that we are collectively facing. And who knows what that's going to be.
Climate change. Whoa. Oh, God, that came out of nowhere.
It's not like it's ever 62 degrees in December. That doesn't happen in Tennessee.
Oh, God.
Well, guys, thank you for listening to the show. As always, check us out wherever you stream podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon. We're on it. Check it out. Give us a like, give us a 5-star review, the whole nine yards. And we thank you, as always, for listening. And we hope you have a great rest of your 2020 and make the most of the last couple of days you got.
Well said. We'll see you guys in a couple of weeks.